we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Refresh Radio program here. My name's Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. This program is supported and sponsored by the saints at Merritt Assembly of God, and we are glad that we are able to come and impart the Word of God to you. So I only have a couple of more opportunities to invite you out to our night of worship tomorrow night, Wednesday night, May the 3rd at 7 p.m. We have a special musical guest that's going to be with us. His name is Greg Wynn. Greg has recorded 6 different CDs, Invitation, Project USA for the Young at Heart, an instrumental album, a Christmas album called entitled Peace on Earth, and the classic CD. He plays jazz on the saxophone, and also has a wide array of musical styles. So if, whatever musical style you prefer, he's going to be doing something in that to, so that everyone is ministered to. And his material says his concerts are never boring. And so if you'd like to come and enjoy a night of worship, we invite you to come to Merritt Assembly of God tomorrow night, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you'd like more information, you can give us a call, 321-454-4263. And hopefully we will see you there tomorrow night at 7 p.m. So we want to get to the Word today. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61. And so let me start reading there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we have been talking about the Spirit of the Lord being upon us, that the Lord has anointed us, anointed Jesus. He's anointed us as well. And yesterday we talked about that he's anointed us to preach good tidings to the poor, and he has sent us to heal the brokenhearted. Today I want to share with you that his message to, besides just good news, is that you and I are to proclaim liberty to the captives. We are to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Those are two related thoughts, but how do I want to say it? One of them involves speech and the other one involves the action. He has sent us to proclaim liberty to the captives. Do you know that for the most part, people don't realize that they are in captivity? When Jesus ministered to the people of his day and time, he told them that they were in bondage, and they said, "We have never been in bondage to anyone," not realizing that they were at that very moment under Roman oppression. And if you were to say to the people of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, that they were in captivity, they would say, "No, I'm not in captivity." But in actuality, every person is that is not a believer in Jesus Christ is in bondage. The scripture says that the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. That means that whatever bill you've got, they have a control over you. And I can tell you that from some of the situations that I've dealt with, that if they feel like they want to change the terms, they change the terms, and you either have to adjust, overcome, and improvise, or you just have to go along with the plan. And so I want to encourage you today that God wants you and I to be proclaiming freedom, liberty to the captives. We are supposed to be a land of liberty. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I will tap back into what we have already been talking about, and that is the Spirit of the Lord God and how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to go around doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. We've talked about all of that sort of stuff. We talked last Friday about the anointing that breaks the yoke, and that's because the God inside of us is getting stronger and the restraints on the outside of us are getting weaker and under more duress, and therefore they are fracturing, they are breaking, they are rendered useless. But the scripture says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, I've heard people say, you know, every religious system is designed around bondage. Now, I want you to understand there are different sorts of involvement. Now, Paul said that he was a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some people take that and say, well, see, you're just either a slave to one party or you're a slave to another, but you're still a slave. No, the one, you are a slave with no rights, no choices, no privileges. The other is you and I serve God not because we have to, but because we want to. Today, I am pastor of Merit Assembly of God, not because I have to be, but because I choose to be. God had planned that for me before the foundation of the world, and therefore I have said, you know what? He has been so good to me that I am just going to continue to serve him all the days of my life. And so that's a reality. It's what type of taskmaster do you have? Now, I want you to know that the devil is a horrible taskmaster. He is abusive. He doesn't care about you. He just wants to use you. And then when you expire, you die. And then he has you for all of eternity. And he just tries to utilize whatever he does in your life in such a manner that you will drag more people to hell with you, that people will be prevented from hearing the good news of Jesus Christ that says there is liberty for the captives. See, one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is when the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other towns of the plains were taken captive. There was a war between one faction of kings and another faction of kings, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were defeated, and all of the people were carried off into captivity. Now, I want you to know that was never a good thing. You were going to be doing the most despicable, hardest jobs, and you were not going to get any compensation for it. That was the way that it was in those days. If your people were conquered, you were now a slave, and you can see from the scripture in Exodus that taskmasters would say, okay, we've decided we're not going to help you as much as we have been, and by the way, your production had better not drop off. And then if it does, then you are going to be punished, you are going to be beaten, you're going to be being oppressed. So that's the way it was. And so they carried off, but they made a mistake. The kings that won the battle, they made a mistake because they carried off Lot. And Abraham gathered. Now, you've got to remember, Abraham was a shepherd. These were not trained military officers. He was a nomad in the land, but he had acquired a great amount of wealth, and he had 318 trained men who were working for him, and God used him and those 318 men to defeat a consortium of kings that had already conquered the organized towns of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of their neighboring friends. 318. You see, I want you to know today that God can save by many or by few. Today, I want you to know that you may have been a slave of your body may have been used as instruments of unrighteousness and bondage to sin before, but God now wants you to use your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit as an instrument of righteousness for Him. Too many people want to silo the very aspects of their life. Okay, this is my spiritual life, but it's separate from my financial life. And this is my spiritual life, but it's different from my home life. And this is my spiritual life, but it is different from my work life. It is different there. So when I go to church, I'm going to live in this little compartment over here, but all of those other compartments, I will function in them when I go there. And I want you to know that's just not the way that it is. You are not a part-time slave. You are to be free in every area of your life. The biggest problem about bondage is that when you have been in bondage, and the children of Israel were in bondage for over 400 years in Egypt, that even when Pharaoh told them to go and they sent them out blessed, they had so much finances, they literally didn't have anything to do with it. There was no grocery stores to go to. There were no gas stations to go to. They just went out. They had all of this stuff, and it would have equipped them nicely once they got to where they were going. But the problem was, even though they had departed Egypt, their slave mindset had not departed from their brain. They still thought like a slave. They still acted like a slave. And then whenever they did rise up and say, you know what, we don't like the way things are, the slave mindset kicked in and said, we would rather go back to Egypt and die as slaves than we would die as free men. I want you to know that that's the very opposite of what sparked the American Revolution, where, you know, the theme was give me liberty or give me death. That's an entirely different mindset. So I want to ask you today, when you are just sitting around thinking, do you think as a person that has been set free, or do you think as a person who is in bondage? Because there are different thought processes there. A slave is looking for a handout. A slave is looking for whatever they can get, and they really don't expect to experience breakthrough or prosperity. They don't expect to experience much success. They're just going through life doing their thing, and as long as somebody takes care of their bare minimum needs for today, then they're good. But God wants everything that you put your hand to be a success. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You need the Spirit of the Lord in your life. I need the Spirit of the Lord in my life Sunday through Saturday. I told somebody about a week or so ago, they asked me a question, and I said, only on days that end in Y. And they said, what does that mean? I said, well, it means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's the way that I operate. Now, I want you to understand that when you are operating as a free person, as a person who has been set free, that you're no longer imprisoned by the bars and the chains and things like that. It requires a different way of thinking. But there, you know, I'm just here to share the reality with you. There are some people who are more comfortable being slaves, being in captivity, than they are being on their own. Do you know that whenever they rehab an animal that has been captured in the wild, that has been injured, that many times now they are going about the process of reintroducing that person into the society that it came from, the environment that it came from. But when they do that, they have to train that animal how to operate, because if they get so used to someone just providing for them, they lose their instincts on how to provide for themselves. And so they don't release them until the rehab process of thought. The physical injuries, the physical freedom can come, but we need God to also give us the way to think like a person that has been set free to accomplish the purpose that God has. You see, our freedom is not freedom to do whatever we want. Our freedom is that we can now pursue and accomplish the plans and the purposes that God has for our life. See, the scripture says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It is not just knowing the truth. It is abiding in Christ. It is knowing the truth and allowing that truth to bring you the freedom that you needed. So, not only are we preaching good news to the poor, but we are also proclaiming liberty to the captives. Now, I will tell you on that proclaiming or preaching good tidings to the poor, I believe that not only every race, every tribe, every tongue should be represented in church, but I believe every socioeconomic strata should be recognized there. You see, there are too many people that are buying into the mindset that if you're not born with a silver spoon in your mouth, that you cannot accumulate anything, that you can't get ahead. I will tell you that some of the economic systems of this world are not designed to empower people. They are designed to keep people oppressed. I could go on off on that, but I don't want to get too political here. I just want you to know God wants you free. He wants you to be free from sin. He wants you to be free from the oppression of the enemy. He wants you to be free mentally. He wants you to be at liberty as far as your provisions go, and he wants you to be free mentally. So now I tell people that I am open-minded to an extent. I am not open-minded to every thought that comes down the pike. I am open-minded to the thoughts and the processes and the plans and the truths that are revealed in God's Word. If you start telling me something that violates God's Word, you will find that my ears close very quickly. And so that's one of the reasons why we need to know the Word of God. God specifically told the children of Israel, if somebody comes start talking to you about different gods and different philosophies other than what's in the Word of God, then you need to remove that person from your community. You don't want them to be sowing that poison, that toxic. You see, there's a wisdom from heaven and there's a wisdom from earth. There's a wisdom from God and there's a wisdom straight from the pits of hell. One of them is going to empower you. That's the wisdom from God. One of them is going to lead you deeper and deeper into captivity and to more and more depravity. It goes on and it says, in the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Now I want to take you over to the book of Acts in the 12th chapter, because I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how many doors or how many gates, how many barriers are between you and the freedom that God has for you. In Acts chapter 12, verse number five, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourselves and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Listen to this. When they passed the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." And Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren," and departed and went to another place. There were multiple layers of gates that Peter had to have opened in order for him to experience the freedom that God wanted for him. He was kept in a prison cell, and he was bound with chains between two soldiers, and so the angel came and delivered him from the chains. He struck Peter on the side, raised him up, said, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off. God doesn't want you restricted in your movements. He wants you to be at liberty to do the things that he's called you to do. And he said, put your sandals on. And so he did, and put on your garment and follow me, and did not know that what was taking place was really happening. So after he was set free from the chains, he was set free from the prison door. Then he was set free from the second guard post. Then he came to the iron gate that led to the city, and the angel miraculously opened that door. And at once he got outside of that, he realized that he was now free to go about his business. I want you to know that they had experienced a deliverance from prison once before. It was earlier in the book of Acts when he had been arrested, and they went to the jail cell and they didn't find him there. Instead, they found Peter and John out on the street. Let me see if I can find this for you. It's in the first part of the chapter. And, goodness. Anyway, they were commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. They did it anyway. They got arrested. Acts chapter 3 is where that happens, where they are told not to do that. Oh, here it is. Chapter 4, verse number 3, "And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. They went looking for Peter and John, and they didn't find them, and they found them out teaching once again. And so I want you to know that Peter had experienced that type of deliverance before. God has no problems delivering people from the most fortified strongholds that the enemy has to offer. You might think that drugs are never going to let you go. I tell you today that God wants us to proclaim liberty to the captives, and he wants to open every door of every prison that has you bound. I started to talk earlier about one of the problems with society is people are more comfortable in bondage than they are at freedom. That's why literally people will go out and commit crimes so that they will get arrested, so that they will go to jail, because they are more comfortable in there than they are on the outside. people serve a prison term and they go out and they almost, and a very high rate of them commit a crime in a very short period of time, and they end up right back in the same prison that they were before. God doesn't want to set you free just for you to go back. He's sent me today to say it doesn't matter if there's one layer of stronghold or two barriers or stronghold or three barriers of stronghold. He wants to deliver you from them all. He can cause them to open up. There are some people who are incarcerated physically, but they are liberated spiritually, and they are accomplishing great things. There, I have heard stories in South America and in Africa where revival hit the jails and hit the prisons. And people in there were growing exponentially in their faith. They weren't experiencing jailhouse religion. They were experiencing a relationship with Jesus that was transforming the prisons from some of the most dangerous places in the community to some of the most spiritually liberated places in the community. But I tell you, there was one other door that Peter faced in Acts chapter 12, I think it was, we were just at Acts chapter 12. There was one more door that needed to be opened, and that was the door of fellowship with the saints. Today, I want to encourage you, if God sets you free from your sins, set you free from your drugs, set you free from all of those life-destroying problems, make sure that you don't stop until he opens that door of fellowship for you to be around other believers. You see, the church at that time, they were praying for Peter's deliverance, but they didn't believe it when the deliverance came. Peter is standing there, and I don't know if you can hear me knocking or not, but Peter's knocking, and he's crying out, "Open the door, open the door, open the door." And they were praying, but they weren't believing, and there was a little servant girl who said, "You know what? I think I hear Peter's voice at the door." And they said, "No, that's not possible." You know, sometimes the church is good at praying. We're just not really good at believing. I believe that if we're going to pray, we need to pray with expectation that God is going to accomplish that. They finally came in. They finally opened the door, and they were astonished. There stood the answer to their prayers. I pray that today, that if you're praying for freedom, you won't be as slow to believe and slow to respond as the saints were on that day. Pray, yes. Believe, yes. Expect, yes. And give God the praise when it happens. Father, I pray for every person here today, Lord, that they would understand that there is liberty available. And Lord, I pray that every prison door would open. And Lord, not only that door, but I pray that the door to fellowship with you and to fellowship with your people would be thrown wide open, and we would enjoy the saints. God bless you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."